to the people. Welcome back. We're on the move from the nonsense and to the good sense. This is Mike Africa Jr. and this is my podcast where we illuminate the struggles of the people, inform the uninformed, and give you nothing but the truth. On the Move is here to disrupt the system and spark a global revolutionary change. The change is what we need. Like Sam Cooke said, the change is gonna come. But like Gandhi said, you gotta be the change you wanna see in the world. And even though Gandhi wasn't perfect, he said something that was true. And when the power of truth is present, you better respect it. So check this out. Today, I got somebody here today, very special. I've been looking forward to talking to this person for a long time now. And when I introduce this person, you're going to know why. She's a real one. She's an activist, a revolutionary, co-founder of the Dr. Huey P. Newton Foundation, former Black Panther Party member herself. She is the widow of Dr. Huey P. Newton. Right now, I need everybody to stop what you're doing. Pull your car over to the side of the road. Push your shopping cart to the side next to the bread aisle or whatever, and make sure you give up for the one and only Frederica Newton. Peace to you, Frederica. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Michael, for having me. It's a blessing to be here today. It really is.
So we have this segment on the podcast called Gimme Two, okay? Activists are multifaceted, and oftentimes people don't think of us as doing anything other than rallying and protesting. And Gimme Two is a way to spotlight some of the other things that we got going on in our lives. So I want us to share two things that made us smile, like this week. Okay. And I'll go first, and then, you know, gives you a little bit of time to think about some things that you might want to say. So the first thing that I wanted to say is, I got a call from my mentor, who is an elderly man. His name is I. Abdul John. Mm-hmm. And he was having some issues with a contractor next door. The guys next door were working on a house, and they were just, you know, making a lot of noise, banging into the walls. He started seeing cracks on his on his side of the house in his room. And, you know, they were just being reckless with the way they were working. And I called the owner of the company, of the house or whatever. And we had a really good conversation. And when I explained to him, to the owner, that my mentor is an elderly man, the owner seemed to be respectful. And he said that he was going to talk to the workers and work it all out. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that made me feel good. I guess because there's a thing about, you know, people working and respecting other people. People respecting, you know, elders. That made me feel really good. It's very important to respect your elders. You don't know what they've seen, but you can best be sure that they've seen a lot. So to respect them, I thought that was cool. The other thing was that last week, my daughter Aaliyah, turned 10. And she was really happy to turn those double digits. No longer a single digit person. She's a double digiter. And she's really excited about that. My dad also had a birthday. His birthday comes 3 days before hers. And he turned 66. So we had birthdays all around. It was a really, really fun time. We got a chance to get together and hang out with each other. And we just had a really nice time, you know, loving each other.
Nice.
So what about you? Give me two.
One came up today. We're landscaping the area around the bust where the public art memorial piece where the statue of Huey's going to be placed on October 24th. And I've been up at night because I didn't have the people to landscape. I didn't have the volunteers secured. And I just got a call today from a woman who says they'd be honored that some of the principles of the program that she runs are based on the history of the legacy of the Black Panther Party. So she's going to have 15 volunteers actually out there to help landscape. And this has been quite a process. So this is kind of our last big hurdle. So we're going to have those kids out there. And I really wanted young people out there to do this work. and or to be part of this whole historic moment. And I think the other thing is around my granddaughter. She said she's taken an interest in this history. Both I have twin grandkids, and my granddaughter asked me to send her an email this week so she could share this event with her teacher, who's reached out and asked. They're going to a more diverse school than they've gone to before in Berkeley. The population of Black folks is really drastically diminished. And so she's in the school where they're doing some focus around Black culture, and they're interested in the event. So, you know, a lot of times I'm just working so much, I feel like I don't spend the time that I could with my family, or that the kids aren't at all interested in what we're doing. I wasn't very interested in what my parents were doing. So it was nice to see that she was interested. So those are two things.
I really appreciate that you're sharing that with me. To know that people showed that kind of respect.
Yeah.
And the way they handled that, it shows a lot of class. And so I think that's really, really cool. So tell me, what's a regular day like in the life of Frederica Newton?
I don't leave this spot many days where I'm sitting right now. I do a lot of work via Zoom, so I'm on calls a lot of the day. Luckily, I have a beautiful garden now. I just got it installed that I can look out on. a lot of meetings from morning until oftentimes late at night. I am directing a foundation, well, the Dr. Huey P. Newton Foundation, and we're very active right now, in particular with this installation of this statue of Huey and other initiatives that we're working with, including the National Park Service to create a National Historical Park. So, yeah, it's pretty rich. I have a pretty rich life. I get to interact with all these people and don't have to leave my dining room table. I young people a lot. I have a lot of younger folks around me that bring a lot of energy, imagination, creativity, an awesome team. So, yeah, I retired from my job, I guess it's been about 2.5 years ago after working there for many, many years. And I now have a whole new life. It's hard to believe sometimes the richness of my current life.
What is really amazing to me is the impact of your husband's work. Huey's impact reached further than I think I myself, probably even you, will ever truly realize. And just a few short years too, right? And now we're looking at things all these years later, but his impact was so tremendous, right? And when you see his impact in murals, you know, 55 years later, after the beginning of the Black Panther Party, you hear the message of Huey in music today. Young people are, you know, playing it. You see it in television. And how does it make you feel to see his work live on this way?
You know, I try and think of how Huey would feel. For me, I feel proud. I know that he was a very private guy. He was actually a pretty shy person by nature, which might seem counter to, you know, this public imagery that you have of him, but he actually was pretty shy. So I think that he had an ego, so he'd definitely be flattered, no doubt. But I think he'd really want people to remember him because of the legacy that he left behind, the community survival programs, to see the work that he did to help other Black and oppressed people, that's what he would want to be remembered by, as opposed to his image, or in addition to his image, maybe on some days, but definitely he would want people to remember the work that he did and the love that he had for the community.
You know, in my family, the public depiction of us, myself, my father's generation, my grandmother and my aunt, right? You know, the depiction of us is guns and bullhorns and yelling, right? That's the persona. But that's not who we are.
No.
The people are tender and gentle. And if you're not careful, like if you say certain things a certain way, you know, you hurt people's feelings, right? Because people are really sensitive people. The persona has people thinking differently about us, but the actual way we really are is very different than the persona. And I heard it said that you met Huey while you were in college, and you said what attracted you to him was his vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. I was in college. Huey had just been released from prison. And my mother was doing work for the party as a realtor. My mother was white and had fought against racism in housing and redlining, racism in every capacity. That was what she did. And as a result of the work that she did, the Black Panther Party trusted her to be their real estate broker. And so, unbeknownst to me, my mother was doing work with the party, and I met Huey at her home. I was still living there. I was still living at home. I'd just come back from college, and I just turned 19, and he was there. She had invited him over for lunch, and there were a lot of people there in the house, young activists and civic leaders and all kind of heavy-duty folks in the movement at the time. And I was just this kid. I wasn't apolitical, totally. Had dressed down for the occasion. I was. I was more interested in going to the mall and makeup. And even though I'd been raised in this very political family, I was aware but wasn't active. And I think that I saw it as an intrusion to our childhood. You know, our home was not really our home. It's like a community center a lot. So, and this is another kind of event. So I dressed down in order not to impress this important guest that was coming over, which meant I was trying to impress him with dressing down. I asked him a question when it became apparent that I hadn't asked him anything. Everybody else was asking all these kind of deep ideological questions. And so I asked them.
Can we pause for a second? Were you interested in him immediately right then? Or was it like you're just dressing down just because you don't want to appear like you're interested? What was it?
I was dressing down because I knew. I had 4 months prior gone to, at the invitation of my neighbors, gone to see him the day he was released from prison. I knew who he was. I knew he was iconic. I was probably afraid. He wasn't in my orbit. I was going to the mall and, you know, I was just, that wasn't my world. So I don't know what it was about. I just didn't want him to think he was a big deal to me when he was over at my mother's house, because I know there was a lot of buzz around him coming over there that day. I didn't want to appear that it affected me one way or the other.
What did you, so what did you ask him?
I asked him what it was like in prison. Because I really wanted to know, how did he, after some contemplation and looking down at his plate and taking a moment, he said it was very lonely. It was very lonely in prison. So it was an unexpected answer.
Why was that unexpected?
I didn't think he'd give some much thought. I thought he was think it was a stupid question. It wasn't deep. It wasn't about any ideology. It wasn't about the revolution. It wasn't about even about the Black Panther Party. It was about him and what was going on inside him that he could survive living those years in a 12 by 12 cell. How did you survive that? Come to the other side? What kept you going? I don't know. It just seemed, this seemed not deep enough. Not intellectual enough, a question.
You know, made him think. I can only imagine, right? I get a lot of questions about things. People are so absorbed by the persona that they sometimes overlook the fact that we're people. And so when they hear Mike Africa Jr. was born in a jail cell, he must be made of iron, right? So when people ask me humanistic questions, yeah, you definitely have a different spot, a different type of answer for that type of question. And I bet you he appreciated that question. I can only imagine, but it seemed like he probably did. Did you get that he appreciated that question?
I do. It seemed like a break from all the political questions that he was being asked, that nobody was asking how he was doing. Like, how are you? And how did you survive that? And are you okay? And what'd you do to be okay? Is there anything you need?
Yeah, that's really important. And that's, I think that's really special. And I guess it brings me to this other question about the persona, right? I mean, when I think of Huey, the first image that comes in my mind is, of course, the gun, the spear, the chair. And I would have never guessed, unless you told me, or unless somebody, unless I knew in some kind of way that he was a shy person, the persona. And I guess I wonder, was that persona a defense mechanism, do you think?
In that particular photo, that iconic photo of Huey in the wicker chair with the gun and the spear, I understand it was set up by Eldridge, and he was again not so pleased about being focused on in that way. But Huey was fierce. I mean, Huey was a leader, and Huey was my leader in the Black Panther Party. And he was also intrinsically pretty shy guy. You know, he was a lot of things. He was a Pied Piper with kids. I think he was at his best with children. He was at ease with children. He was most free with children. He was a thought leader. He was intellectual, and he was as at home on the streets. So he was, you know, a man all seasons, so to speak. He was sweet, and he was mean. No, he had the frailties of everybody else walking on this planet. But he had a deep, deep, deep love for his people, and a deep love for oppressed people, not only Black people, but all oppressed people. So a man with that kind of depth of that capacity for love also must have a great sensitivity. So as fierce as he was as fragile as he could be. There's a lot of things. I miss him terribly sometimes.
Listening to you say all of this stuff about Huey, I mean, I can just feel the love emanating. It's because, you know, it's that question. It's that feeling, right? I think it's easy to see this larger than life person. And for people, like I said, for people to forget that he's also a man, a husband, a father. Mm. You know, it's been over 30 years since Huey was killed. And the tender question that I have for you is, what do you miss about him the most?
Huey accepted me for who I am. I mean, he just did. He was easy in that way. He didn't sweat the small stuff. And Huey was like family to me. He was very close to my mother, very close to my brother. So family's super important to me. So he just felt like family. And I don't know how you put words to that. So I miss that companionship. He was a really good father to my son. And so we had a house full of kids all the time. Those are the things that I miss. I think being, and his deep intellect. You know, he was brilliant. So as insecure as I could feel around that, like, what the hell? I'm no match for him in that way. I flunked philosophy 101. and not to be self-deprecating, but it was just a union that worked. I felt protective of Huey from the first night that I was with him, and still do. To put that bust out on him, I don't know how I'm going to do it and him be out there alone on that median strip.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was going to ask, I saw on the internet there was vandalized the location, right? And I saw how quickly you responded and the community responded. I guess I wonder, like, hearing your love and your connection to Huey, how does that make you feel?
I was very saddened by it. And I was very proud of the way that the taggers came forward in the face of a lot of people were very upset about it. And the kids that did it, or the young, they weren't kids actually, in their 30s, it turns out that did it, turned out that they had no knowledge of what was going to be there. They hadn't read the sign. And the sign that, it was like a notice to the city that said what was going to be there, that had already been tagged by someone else. That was nasty tagging about the sculptor, Dana King. And as I understand this community, the culture of that community, more tagging kind of invites additional tagging. So they didn't know. And they came forward within 24 hours and contacted the sculptor and were horrified at what they had done and wanted to make it right. I thought that took a lot of courage.
I think that's really good that they came back the way they did, and it shows respect. And I think that speaks to the level of impact that Huey had on people in the community.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if you could tell us a story about Huey.
I'll tell you a funny story.
Okay. Funny. I like funny stories. We all need to laugh, right?
Okay. Yeah, this is a good laugh. It's on point today. So we were there. Downtown Oakland used to be full of department stores. I don't know what we were looking for that day. We were, I don't know why we were in Capwell's department store. And been there for all my life. That's where I used to go sit on Santa Claus' lap. But we were down there at Capwell's, and we were looking around. It was in the jewelry department, looking at jewelry. And then this woman came up to us, and she said, "Ooh, I have wanted to meet you for, oh my God, I've been wanting to meet you forever." She said, "Oh, I can't believe I get to meet you today. How are you?" He said, "I'm doing fine, sis." And she said, girl, look at who's over here." She called her friend, "Girl, come over here. Oh my God, I can't believe how you doing?" You know, saying to me, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm fine." She said, "I just have to ask you, can I have your autograph?" And Huey had a funny kind of chuckle out. Sure, you can have my autograph. And she said, oh, she just kept going on and on. And this was before cell phones, of course, where she probably would have taken a picture like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I'm meeting you." And so she said, here, hold on, let me get a pen. She went and got a piece of paper. "Here, if you could just, you know, sign this over to me." And he said, "Sure." And so he wrote his name down. "What's your name?" And he got her name, and then he signed it. She said, "Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Girl, I got his autograph." And she picked it up and looked at it. She said, Huey Newton? I thought you was Harry Belafonte. And he
was so crushed. Whoa. Wow. That's funny. That's funny. I would love to talk to Harry Belafonte and tell him this. Watch him as you tell him that story. That seems like something that would be really cool. So unfortunately, we are winding down to the end of this episode. But before we go, I definitely need you to tell the people that, you know, what you guys have planned, what you have planned. It's the 55th anniversary of the founding of the Black Panther Party. And you are carrying on the legacy of your late husband through the Dr. Huey P. Newton Foundation. What are your plans for the anniversary?
Well, there's a whole weekend of events, and it's ending with unveiling of Huey's public art piece, memorial public art piece. And that'll be right on the corner of Mandela Parkway and Dr. Huey P. Newton Way, which was formerly 9th Street. It's the street where he took his last breath. And we have a whole day of events, including the ceremony around unveiling. We have Congresswoman Barbara Lee will be coming in, especially to speak at this event, and other city officials. We have fantastic Negrito, who's graciously agreed to perform, and vendors, and just the whole community event. We have a lot of press coming. So Sunday, the 24th of October, right at Huey P. Newton Way and Mandela Parkway, right there in the median strip. We're blocking off the whole. It starts at 11 o'clock that day and goes on till 3. We take in the streets.
And tell the people how they can find and support what you're doing.
Absolutely. They can go to Instagram at Huey P. Newton Foundation. Or HueyPNewtonFoundation.org. And if they'd like to donate, they can go to Huey.one, O-N-E.
All right, folks, you heard it. You heard the information from Frederica Newton. Make sure you find your way to support. Listen, it's unfortunate. The system puts money between us and the things that we need. And as a way to continue this movement, we need funding. So make sure you support the Dr. Huey P. Newton Foundation. Make sure if you can, if you're in the Oakland area, San Francisco, California, or if you're in the Philly area, you got an opportunity to fly out to California, calling everybody to make it out there October 24th from 11 to 3, where this amazing day will be capped off with a bust placed, Dr. Huey P. Newton placed at the location where he was killed. And listen, it's a wrap for us right now, but many thanks to you, Frederica Newton. Thank you very much for getting on the move with Mike Africa Jr. and telling us these amazing stories.
Oh, thank you, sir. It's so good to see you again.
I appreciate all the listeners out there for tuning in. And if you like what you heard, make sure you tell a friend. Right now, we got to go. We got to stay on the move and out to you. And make sure you're following the podcast so you never miss an episode drop. Until next week, peace out.